The Sanctuary, a community of Jesus people promoting the glory of God in all things to all nations through gospel-centered missional living. Whether it be working with groups in Africa to build orphanages and help rid the continent of AIDS, or feeding the hungry, giving to the oppressed, and helping the hurting who live in our own community, the Sanctuary invites you to be part of a culture of passionate service. You can change your world. Be inspired. Join the movement.
Come on back inside and find your seats. We will get started today. And we're going to go ahead and sit down. We're going to jump right into what we have today. This is just going to take shape as we get going this morning. There's a lot of things that we want to talk about, and there's a lot of things that we want to do, and there's a lot of worship that we want to experience. So we want to go ahead and get started. Today is a celebration, and we want to look back. We want to do a little bit of looking ahead. We want to reunite with some people, remember some things. We want to commit to going forward with one another, with each other, and committed our hearts and to call on the Holy Spirit, that He would continue to use things and people to just equip us and empower us and to complete all of us, to do His work in us. We're going to look at some pictures throughout the morning. They're just going to be rolling on the screen to kind of remind us of some of the things that have happened here in the past. We're also here to celebrate, quite frankly, and launch our worship team's first worship album. We hope it's the first worship album. And we're going to kind of launch that today. All of the songs that we sing today and the order in which we sing them, that is our worship album. So you'll experience the worship album during our worship time today. So we're very excited about that. Let me tell you something about worship albums that I think Jimmy and I underestimated in last February. They don't just happen. You don't just show up and record some stuff and make it just happen. It takes a lot of time to do what's happened here and what you're going to hear about today. Maybe a more talented group or more capable group or more experienced group could have done better quicker, but I want you to have the right perspective on what you're going to hear today and what you're going to experience today. There's a lot of different ways to do a day like today. We've chosen a very particular way, a very specific way to do it. We wanted you to hear our worship band, and we wanted you to hear about our people and the fact that we financed this and we put our time into it, and it's our creativity that's into it. This is going to be a very faithful representation of us sort of stewarding what it is that God's given us here. So we set out last February, Jimmy and I met last February, 11 months ago, to kind of put something together musically that would help tell our story. And it would help us celebrate everything that God's done here. Quite frankly, we didn't aim for perfection. We aimed for excellence and honesty and sincerity and a certain kind of rawness that I think sounds like our talented, capable, and experienced worship team in our weekly experience with the Lord. We wanted to kind of capture that and put it on a CD if you can. So our prayer is today that as we sing and as we worship and as we talk and as we remember, that it's inspiring to you, that you are encouraged, and quite frankly, that it pushes you to Jesus Christ. He loves you, and He has changed our lives forever, and we are desperately trying to let you know. Well, there's some good ones up here. Yeah. There'll be some good ones up there. We desperately want you to know that God is fiercely chasing you today. And He wants you to be His today. So we're going to look kind of in and out. We'll come in and out of some scripture and then back into singing and worship and stuff like that. Just enjoy everything that goes on back behind me there. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul says, "Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." That's my wish for you today. That's my prayer for you today. And that's the blessing that I would want to put on everyone in here today. Grace and peace. Not fleeting, fly by night. Grace and peace here today, gone tomorrow. Grace and peace, but a grace. Now, what is grace? I want you to know that you don't have to work to get to God. I want you to walk out of here today understanding that you don't have to work hard to get to God. Matter of fact, grace is the message: stop working. Quit trying to get to God. Jesus has done it all. He's provided a way for you to be right and for you to be right with God. And we also want you to know that you don't have to work hard to keep His love. Some of you are in a relationship with God and you feel like, man, I got to work hard for God to still love me. That's not grace, that's works. So let's not trade grace getting to God for works after we come to Him. Amen? Let's make sure that we have grace in our lives at all times. Peace. I want you to have peace, grace and peace. That's my prayer for you. Peace has this idea of harmony and health and, quite frankly, prosperity in every area of your life. That's my prayer for you today, that you would have grace and peace in every circumstance that you find yourself in. I don't know what that is. I'm not going to stand here and tell you guys are going to change everything in your life. I'm just telling you, I hope that God gives you grace and peace for wherever you're at, in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. If you're missing something, I pray that you would find it in God. If you're ill, I pray that you would be made well. If you're lacking, I pray that you'd be filled up with all the fullness that God has for you. If God has it for you right now that you're going to be lacking or wanting or ill, I pray that you would love God more and trust Him better because of where you're at right now. And that it would be a peaceful time for you. Whatever it is that you find yourself in, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, I pray that it's a peaceful time. And that God's grace holds you, and yet you know that. In verse 2, he says, this comes from our Father. That's our good, good Father. And I just love that song that we sang at the beginning. He is our good, good Father. And some of us have great fathers. We sing about God being our Father, and that's not hard because our dads were great. And that's awesome. What I want to tell you is God's better. No matter how good your dad is, God's better. Some of us had lousy dads, right? God is the best dad you can imagine. For those of you who don't have a great dad, I want to tell you that God's the best dad you could even make up. He's better than that, right? God is our good, good Father. Most of us fall in between, right? We don't have horrible dads. We don't have incredible dads. Here's what I want to tell you. God is everything your dad tried to do and tried to be, and he couldn't, just because he's a man. God is better than that. And this Father gives us grace and peace. That's my prayer for you guys today. So we're going to look back a little bit, and maybe as simplistic as this sounds or elementary as this sounds, the whole idea of God being our Father who gives grace and peace and does good things, that's kind of the starting point of the church, of the Sanctuary Fellowship. 10 years ago, a group of people met, probably, I think we're trying to put some timeline together, probably November, maybe even October of 2006, to kind of talk about what a church might look like. What would it look like if we did this? What would set it apart from other churches? How do you even start a church? And based on the belief of a good father who gives grace, they launched out in faith. And man, it was faith. If you think about what it takes to start a church, it takes a lot of faith. Where are we going to meet? Where's our office going to be? Are we going to have a staff? And if we do, who are they going to be? And how are we going to take care of them? Childcare, students, what's our mission going to be? How are we going to attack that mission? There are legal issues involved with incorporation. How does all that happen? There was so much to do, and all of it was based on this belief that God wanted us to be different from other places. Not necessarily better, and we're not comparing ourselves to anyone else. We're just saying God wanted to do something unique here. What was the best way for us to kind of attack that and go after it and do what God was calling us to do? This is built off a sketchy memory from somebody over here in the corner, but we think this was who at the first meeting, right? The Youngs were there. The Engelbrechts were there. Some of you know these names. The Bushes were there. The Zatopeks were there. The Delays were there. The Harringtons were there, and somewhere in here. And the McGees were there. That's, to the best of our knowledge, that was who was at that initial meeting of this church. An amazing group of people. And some of us had the opportunity and the privilege to know them and call them friends. And they were an amazing group of people who got out and stepped out in faith to see this happen. Pretty soon, they were meeting in a living room. And they moved into a chapel over in the older part of North Richmond and Rio Bend neighborhood. They had started this before I came, but we had the pleasure of mowing 20-plus acres every week and sometimes twice a week. Setting up at 5:30 in the morning. Rehearsals at Jimmy's house, in the office, anywhere that it would facilitate. Student ministry met at the Johnson's house for a while, and then we started to meet at New Territory in the clubhouse there. So I just want to go back and ask this question. If you were at the chapel with us, would you raise your hand? Just put your hand up. If you came to church in the chapel. So there's a smattering of people who were with us back there at the chapel. That's a long time ago, right? So you're old time. You're all old now. Okay, if you just put your hand up. That's been a long time. So awesome. Thank you guys all for being here. Every decision that that little church made in the beginning was just a step of faith. How does it happen? How do we get there? How do we do this? You know, who's going to facilitate it and fund it and all those kind of things. Every choice was a step of faith. Bills to pay, staff to take care of. The Villanuevas came in the first months of the church. I don't think y'all were at that first meeting, but soon thereafter you guys came. Yeah, so the very beginning of that December, 10 years ago, Jimmy and Lizzie came up from the valley. There were families to minister to, a community to reach. That's the other thing I want to pray for those people who are here early on. I want to pray this, Philippians 1:3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you, and he will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon my every remembrance of that group of people that started this church. And we should, if you weren't here in the chapel, you should make a beeline to the back of this room before you get out of here and tell those people thank you for their faithfulness to step out in faith and to do this. So we weren't long at the chapel, and God opened up the doors to be at the Cinemark Theater. Now, who was with us at the Cinemark? A little bit, a few more of us, right? Remember the Cinemark, right? The nursery was at the end of the hall by the emergency exits. People would walk in with popcorn ready for movies to start while we were having church. We bought a lot of movie tickets while we were there for people who came in at the wrong time expecting a movie to start while we were there. Getting locked out at 5:30 in the morning while the manager was asleep in his office because he forgot we were coming. Crawling through the roof to get into the storage closet. Crazy stuff. Matt Willard's over here. Just talk to Matt about the banner. Just ask Matt, what about the big banner on the side of the building? Phenomenal story that Matt can tell you. Man, for everyone, for everybody who was here, whether you were here for a short time or a long time, I want to tell you that you set the stage. You set the stage. You set the pace for who we are and who we were going to be. You laid the foundation for every ministry that's occurred since then. You have set the stage for that. You laid the foundation for that. You have been partners in the gospel in every possible way. You're doing what so many other people would never do, and you stepped out in faith. There are a lot of people who want to start churches, and very few who do. And you did it. And so, man, just what an amazing thing that you did. Most people, when they start a church, they spend anywhere from about 6 to 18 months gathering support and putting together financial backing and supporters and actually having people attend, you know, that kind of thing. Not Thomas and Aaron Young. They did it. They just did it. Hey, we'd start a church. And they just started a church. We are more than grateful for them. For the Spirit of God moving in Thomas and Aaron at the Graves Ranch, I believe, is kind of where it may have begun to germinate. And their courage as they started the Sanctuary Fellowship. I pray and I hope that we have been true to their examples. I pray that we have been true and gone beyond what they could have even imagined that a church might be like and what a church might be able to accomplish. We are very thankful for you all. So thank you for what you've done. So we look back at that time sort of as inspiration to look ahead. We don't want to live back there. We want to look forward, and we want to know that that was foundational work for where God is sending us, for what he has for us. What new thing might God be doing in you? And that's my next question for everybody in the room today. This is great to hear about us. And some of you are like, you don't even know these names. You don't know these people. You've come later. And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. God may be starting something in you, and I pray that this story that you hear today and the things that I've talked about briefly here may be inspiration for you. What new thing is God doing in you? What is God calling you to do? Are you stepping out in faith into the unknown because the Holy Spirit of God told you to do it? How are you setting the stage for other people to do amazing things? So to all the starters and all the early adopters who helped us get going, thank you, and God bless every single one of you. Father God, we look back. Yeah, amen. Father, we look back and we're in awe of how this got started. We're so grateful that you put dissatisfaction into the life of some people and into the hearts of some people, and you put dreams into people's hearts. And you put passion for people into leaders who would go out and step out and do it, and that you called them and you created the call in them to go start the Sanctuary Fellowship. God, we praise you and we love you and we praise you with everything that we are. God, we give it to you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So by this time in our church's life, man, things were humming along pretty good. Mindy and Jordan and Jenna and I came over, joined the Youngs, the Vienna Wave was on staff, and really, I truly believe that this was it, and that it was all kind of coming together, and I was just thinking that everything, almost everything I could think of in ministry was about to come true. A lot of the dreams that God had kind of put in my heart, and I think in Thomas's heart, we had many, many conversations about that. We were very, very excited. There was a lot of hard work. We just worked hard physically. It was exhausting. We worked really, really hard during that time. We went to two services at the Cinemark. If you were in the setup team, you will know what the Engel jig was. It was this amazing mechanical wonder that Brian made that helped us figure out the stage without killing anybody, which we almost did many times. Coke would be spilled in the stands and run down under the equipment, and we had to clean it off on Sunday mornings. Just good times, hard times, but really good times. After long negotiations, we got the okay to move into Sartarsha Middle School. And we moved out of the Cinemark into Sartarsha. And for me, I'm just telling you, that was like getting out of jail, man. Moving out of the Cinemark was just, it was awesome while we were there, but it was nice to not be there. And getting into the school, just there was a breath of fresh air and life, and things were kind of easier to do and to set up and some other things there. So that was great. That was October 25th, 2009, for those of us who can remember that. So those of you that are here today, who was at the school? Sartarsha, right? Okay, a few more of us were back at the school when we were there. Here in this text, we see that Paul's in prison, and that's not what he expected when he started this whole journey that God put him on. It wasn't the plan. He planned on taking the gospel to the nations and to Gentiles, and it was proving to be very, very hard, very, very difficult. But he begins to see God's grace for the work, whether he was on Mars Hill and he was triumphant, we see that in Acts, or he was beaten almost to death to get out of town, shipwrecked, hanging out with John, Mark, and Timothy, whatever it was, God is giving him grace for the work. God is giving him the ability to do what God called him to do. And you know what? During this time, we were kind of like Paul. We were working without fear, sharing the gospel, knowing at that time that God was with us. And then, like Paul, everything went a different direction than any of us ever could have expected. After being on staff for a full year and working really hard, I had to take a break. And Thomas and I met at Chick-fil-A, which was our office outside of the office. Met at Chick-fil-A and had a long conversation. And we determined that after I came back and after Thanksgiving, we're going to work some things out. He was beginning to really struggle, and it had become apparent to many people. So we were going to have some other conversations. The day after Thanksgiving, we got up, we played football, the Turkey Bowl, which many of you have done. We played football, got coffee with some of the boys, went home, cleaned up, getting out our Christmas stuff in the tree and putting on Christmas music, and I got a phone call, and the phone call was, "Did you get the email?" And I hadn't been around my computer for a couple of days, and I said no, and that started a long process at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and by midnight that night, Thomas was dead, and he had taken his life by his own hands. When we were in the hospital waiting room that night with about 20 people, And you know, it was just crushing. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and I'm guessing the majority of the church had no idea what happened, and so they showed up to set up on Sunday morning, and it was just going to be a regular day. So we had a little bit of worship, and, you know, quite frankly, Christy sang a song that was just angelic and amazing, and I still remember that, and we had a little bit of a message, and we made an announcement about what happened, and there was a lot of crying, and there was a lot of hugging, and there was a lot of tears, and then there was a lot of worry, and there was a lot of stress, and there was a lot of anxiety, and there was a lot of fear, and crushed dreams, and anger, and disillusionment, and attacks from the enemy in almost every way you can imagine. 2:30 that morning, Mindy and I, after getting back from the hospital, were talking, and man, her courage and her strength just spilled over into me, and we decided that night at about 3 o'clock in the morning that no matter what we were in, whether we closed the doors or we got to today, we were in. And we talked with Jimmy and Lizzie, and they decided to be in. I think we had to buy them something. No, I'm kidding. They were in. Every week there was some sadness, and there was worry about finances, and there was. We would talk on Friday. We're like, hey, we hope somebody shows up Sunday. There was a lot of that. And you know what? There was, I don't mean this accusingly in any way, there was no help from the outside. It was us and God. Our church, little church family, and God. After Sugar Creek generously opened the doors for the funeral, and Crossbridge and some other people came and took care of us and prayed for us, we were like Paul in that prison. And we were praying for God's deliverance. And we were preparing for what that might mean. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 just took root in my heart, and it really became my life verse during that time. Things went from the laboratory pretty quickly into reality, from orthodoxy to orthopraxy. Would we really believe God and live like it? Would we really believe that God called us? And would we go pursue that call no matter what? We discovered that God's grace is sufficient, and it's enough for us to carry on. Are you in a place like that today? Where there just seems to be no hope? Where your dreams have been shattered and you've been betrayed and you're tired and your work feels like it's been wasted and there's just nothing for you to hold on to? I'm praying that God's words this morning and Paul's words and our example remind you that when you're in that place, one thing does remain. It's the fierce love of God. And it's pursuing you, and it's holding you through the worst of times. And that His grace is enough for you to get up and to carry on. And His grace is sufficient. We're going to sing a song in just a second. Called Enough to Carry On, and we've sung it a couple of times before. I want you to know that song was written by our praise team. It was birthed out of this time in our church and out of many of our lives and what God has done. We wrote it in April of this year, and I hope that it speaks to your heart and that you hear the hope that we have found in that song. Father, we look back and we're just in awe of your grace. We're so thankful that your love remained with us when everything seemed lost. We are so glad that you've taught us that you're completing a work in us. And God, these last 10 years here at this church has proven that you are completing a good work in us. Thank you. We're overwhelmed with gratitude that that wasn't the end of our story. God, I pray that you would show somebody here today, somebody who thinks they're at the end, somebody who thinks there's no hope, God, that this isn't the end of their story. That your love remains, that your grace is enough for us to carry on. Philippians chapter 1, to continue, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I don't know which to choose, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart to be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and you see me or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." After Easter 2010, several months later, Kent Whitaker came and shared his story of pain and loss, restoration. And our leadership made a significant forward-thinking decision that this was all part of our story, but it wouldn't define us. It wouldn't be the story. God would use it to make us and to shape us, but he had much more for us. And we talked about this, and I think I said it publicly there shortly thereafter, that we lost our pastor and our friend, but Jesus didn't come back. Many people, surprisingly, during these times, they joined us, and we were being taken care of financially. And intentionally, we started some new ministries. We reorganized the church from the top to the bottom. We brought on our first elder, Bennett Murph. We would survive and we would go forward one halting step at a time. And we would portray, hopefully, and display to people and experience one of the marks of a follower of Jesus Christ, which was perseverance. We begin to understand a little bit more about what verses 21 and 22 mean here. We get to live, and Christ really does live in us. He really is seen in us. And as we continued and prayed, and as we pursued the Lord, and we stepped out in faith on some pretty crazy ministry opportunities, our children saw Christ in us. A watching world and a church, other churches would tell us, I think they told Jimmy, and I had some people tell me, "You're not going to make it." Thank you, pastor friend. I don't know how to take that. Those people would see Christ in us. A hurting world and members in our church and people that were associated with us would see Christ in us. And they would see how we gave ourselves to each other and invested in each other and how we healed and we learned. And quite frankly, we learned how to give ourselves away again. So we started to see what that meant. We started to see what being alive in Christ means. Fruitful labor is the way Paul said it. Not living in the past. We're not sad about what did or didn't happen. We're not mad at people that hurt us. We weren't surviving. We weren't showing up and pulling off another worship service on Sunday. But a life of fruitful labor. And some of that started to take shape here. We brought Matt and Cammy Prime on staff. We formalized the ministry in Jenny Lane that was begun early in the church's life. We continued ministry in Africa with Pastor Henry. And then as he got going, we started ministry with Pastor James, who we still partner with. We began a long-standing partnership with several families in the McAllen area, in Panitas, with Buckner Ministries. We supported ministries in India and Japan, the Far East, and Asia, and then locally helping people and dealing with issues with the sex trade and getting people to escape out of that. We were sensing some new life. We were sensing some fresh breath from the Lord. And we started to commit ourselves more and more to prayer and seeking the Lord's power through the Spirit. We recommitted to each other in community, and quite frankly, that's proven to be the one strongest determining factor as to whether or not people stay and grow and mature. It's been their level of commitment to other people in close community. We are sloppy people. If you've been around us today, you've figured out we are pretty sloppy, imperfect people. And we have proven that to each other over and over again. But we have learned how to give grace to one another. And we've learned what it looks like to love each other well. Some joy was coming back. We were continuing, progressing in the faith. We were just like a work in progress. I kind of like to think that our church is like Jacob in the Old Testament. We dance before the Lord, but we've got a limp.
We were striving together for the gospel, and there were some very important ladies who sat with us and cried with us and worked with us and labored with us, and they often did those things because of us. Liz Brown, now Liz Sundaram, Laura Santislow, Sam Greasom, now Diane Martin and Carissa Van. We should all buy them extra Christmas gifts this year. They're amazing people who have done a lot of work here, y'all, that I hope everybody understands and appreciates. There were some great men who are good, faithful friends to you. You may not know them, but they have been your friend over the last 8 years and 10 years of our church's life, and they have stood beside us, and they've stood in front of us, and they have facilitated the unhindered pursuit of God so that we could experience God's restoration in our church. Matt Willard, Bill Griffin, Darren Harrington, Brian Engelbrecht, Benny Murph, Daniel Frank, Alan Hunt, Court Graves, David Nielsen, Charles Park, and Josh Landry, Gil Martinez. We had been church in a box for 5 years. Everything we owned was either in my house, in Jimmy's house, in our offices, or in a trailer. And it had been that way for about 5 years, and it just felt like getting into a place that felt like ours wasn't going to happen for another 3 years. I was probably a little shell-shocked and wasn't quite ready to step out and do very much at that point. It turned out that that would be our next step in our church's life, and quite frankly, probably a determining step in the life of our church. These men stepped out in unity and faith, and they challenged our church family to dream and to give and to show fruitful labor. And the week after Easter in 2012, we moved in here debt-free. We don't owe anybody. Yeah, amen. And since we've been here, we've added classrooms and meeting areas and carpet, which has been amazing in here. Our AV system's been updated, and it's debt-free. We've engaged in global ministry, debt-free. These men have stood in the gap, and they have challenged us from the background, but really they've been out front the whole time. And I thank you guys. And our church thanks you. And the kingdom of God is better because of you. Thank you for being our Paul and our Timothy when we needed you. Who is it here today that needs to be renewed? You need to be refreshed. You need to be reminded to not quit, to persevere. Man, I hope you've seen it in us. I hope you see how God's gifted us with the gift of perseverance and that great kingdom things wait for those who don't quit. Don't quit. Get up and keep going and surround yourself with people who pray and people who are smarter than you are and people who love Jesus and people who don't quit, and just get up and keep going. Pray that the Spirit of God gives you the gift of perseverance, especially when you don't feel like it. Listen, man, God still has you. He still has you. And you can get up and you can keep going. Never once did He leave you alone, and He will never leave you alone. I hope you see in us what it looks like to be restored, and that restoration often includes the scars of perseverance. God, we are in awe that you have preserved us and you have restored us. Thank you for your strength, God, for your patience and your power, Father, to get us up when we didn't know what to do or how to do that or even feel like getting up. God, thank you for calling us and equipping us to persevere, for restoring us. Even now, many of us, God, you are giving us our joy again. Thank you. God, while we're here, and while we are living on this planet, God, make our labor fruitful. Whatever we put our hands on that is for the kingdom of God, God, make it fruitful. Give us a long obedience in the same direction, Father, because you still have us. Philippians 4, verse 10. Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now to our God and our Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I think like Paul, all of this has led to us begin to learn what those verses mean. To be content and to work hard and to strive toward the dreams that God's given us no matter the circumstances. Even though we find ourselves in a different kind of prison than what he was in when he was in a literal prison, even though we may never see home again or pursue our dreams, even though things rarely go the direction we plan or the things that we want to do or in our favor, we give God the glory forever and ever. So on the one hand, I can look at all of you, and no matter how long you've been here or what your tenure was or your commitment level, all of you have played a part in who we are today as a Sanctuary Fellowship. And I can look at all of you today and say, we did it. We are still standing. We have done something amazing, and I am so proud of us. We've started ministries, and we've partnered with you in ministry. We've begun to learn what prayer and what worship are about. We're gaining a fuller picture of the whole witness of God in Scripture. We're stoking the fires in our hearts for our ones. We welcome babies into this world together. We've buried our loved ones together. We've celebrated marriages. We raised our children. We prayed for graduations and we celebrated them when they came. We've sat in hospital waiting rooms. We've baptized our children here and our friends here and our family members here. We've committed to raising them together. We have served and sweat and bled and laughed and cried and mourned together. We are learning what it means to be a family of faith. And we look back, but we live in the now, and we enjoy yesterday, but we look forward to tomorrow and even greater joys and celebrations and hallelujahs, things that we can't imagine. On the other hand, I can look at all of you and say, how did this happen? How are we still here? I can't tell you how many times either we, by just being people who are flawed or the enemy, we should not be here. How are we here? And not just here. We don't just show up on Sundays. We are wildly effective and very healthy in ministry. We are perfectly imperfect people who have screwed this up more than we've done it well. We are broken and we are hurting and we sometimes hurt others, but we are here and we are trophies of God's grace. We are proud examples of how God takes broken things and he makes something beautiful. And we, like Paul, we can only praise God for what he's done here. So as we kind of wrap up our time together and as we close in some more worship, as we finish looking back and we remember and we celebrate, we are not here to memorialize any person, to dedicate pews to people, to commemorate wings to donors, or to build a museum to the past, or to construct a fortress and a hiding place from the world. We are here, like Paul, to commit to more hard work, to a tough, tested, true, tried, and proved faith, to trust in a good, sovereign, providential God and a total reliance on the Holy Spirit, wherever he leads, to the grave and beyond, to the 100th anniversary of people looking back and celebrating the goodness of God at the Sanctuary Fellowship. That's what we're here to do, to continue to build the sanctuary, not for the feel-goods or the God fixes that we might get out of it, but a real sanctuary. Have you ever looked up what that word means? It's a consecrated place, a place that is set aside for the use of God. A place of refuge, a place of community. We want to be a launching pad for mission, a place where healing happens. Every kind of healing you can imagine happens here with the gospel in our hearts and the gospel on our lips. That's who we want to be. We commit to embrace every moment as the gift that it is, the pain and the sorrow and the loss and the healing and the joy and the friendships and the betrayals and the disappointments and the victories. God's using all of it to write our story, to encourage somebody else in their journey, and to write his story for all of history. God, we are in awe. We just run out of words to praise you, to tell you that what you've done here is amazing, and we look forward to, we want to step in out in faith, in boldness, into the future that you have for us here, God. What do you want the Sanctuary Fellowship to be? How do you want to show the Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power here, God? How do you want to be most glorified here, Father? Who needs to hear the gospel because of us? Who needs their life changed with love because of us, God? We want those things more than we can imagine, God. You have given us, over the last 10 years, 10,000 reasons to praise you, to live for you, and to come together today and to recommit to each other and to you at the sanctuary, God, in our perfectly imperfect ways, Father. We commit to what you have for us, God. We want to build on the foundation of the past, and it's an amazing foundation. Foundation we couldn't imagine that you'd be gracious enough to give us. And we want to build on the apostles and on Scripture and what Christ has done. And God, we want to leave this place with the gospel on our lips and in our hearts, with the love of God just oozing out of us, and the joy of our salvation going ahead of us, Father. And God, we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Just remain standing. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. There may be somebody in this room right now, and you're like, man, I don't know God the way these people do. I don't know the Lord like this, but I want to. I can't sing to God like this, but I want to. And you need to call out to the Lord right now to save you. That's the best thing, the most amazing thing that can happen today would be that you would call out on Jesus Christ to save you. So if that's you today, just respond to that. It's not emotional. It's not hunger. It's not being tired. It's the Holy Spirit of God moving in your heart right now. Just call out to him. Say, I want to know you. I want you to save me from my sins. Call out unto him. Man, is there somebody in this room and God's calling you to do something? We talked about our church. God called some people to start something, to do something. And it was an act of faith. It was a step of faith. There was risk involved, but there was trust involved in a good God. Nobody's looking around. I just want to pray with you and for you right now. But you say, Pastor Joe, I think God may be calling me to do something. It's new, and he wants me to start something, and I'm kind of afraid, but I do. I want to step out in some faith. Would you pray for me? Just pop your hand up. I want to pray with you. God's calling me to do something, and I've not been faithful to do, and I want to do it. Just like God called this church to do something, and they did it. God, I pray for those who have their hands up, that right now you would infuse them with Holy Spirit courage and power. And God, they would step out, and they would do what you called them to do. Be what you called them to be, God. Give them the faith that they need to step out and to answer the call. Somebody else in here, are you working and trusting, and do you need God's grace for that work? You're kind of tired, but man, it's good, and things are going well, and you need God just to give you the grace that you need. Ask God for it right now. Are you in pain, and you need to know that God is faithful? You're struggling, and you need to know that God loves you. Call out to God right now. God, I need to know right now that you are with me and that you love me and you have never let me go. Are you tired and you want to quit? Get up and ask God for the gift of perseverance. God, these people didn't quit. Don't let me quit. If that's you right now and you say, I just want to quit. I'm done. I'm tired. And I don't want to keep going. I don't want to get up again. But I want to. There's something in me that's like, oh, I need to get up, but I don't have it in me to do it. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm tired, and I don't know if I want to get up again. But I'm raising my hand in faith because I do want to get up. God, I pray for these people that put their hands up. It's so tempting to quit. We're tired. It's hard. God, I pray that you would give these people wisdom. Sometimes getting up means changing behavior and changing beliefs and stop doing certain things and starting other things. God, I pray that these people would get up. Whether it's health or job-related or finances or anything else, God, I pray that they would get up in faith and persevere. Give them the gift of perseverance. Are you broken and you're busted and you feel like you're beyond repair? Ask God to restore you right now. God, restore me. You restored these people. You're restoring them at this church. Restore me. Are you ready to just praise the Lord? Man, you can do it right now. We don't have to sing a song. You don't have to have music playing. You can praise the Lord right now. Tell him that he is excellent and beautiful and glorious and worthy all the time. God, I pray that we would leave this place again, like with the gospel on our lips, just like we talked about. Father, we would leave this place with the good news, and forever we would proclaim you to the people that need to hear about you and to know you, God. Father, I pray that you would do that through us. Make this church the place that you want it to be, the family of faith that you want us to be, God. Keep doing your good work in us. In your name we pray, amen.